Lord, use me to speak to these people here. Lord, speak to us as a fellowship and a congregation. Lord, we want to hear your word again today. Lord, let it be your words, not mine. Lord, open our ears, open our eyes to see what it is you're saying to us and to respond and act upon it, Lord. We ask it in your name, in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Just out of interest, who was here last week? Just put your hand if you were here last week. Who wasn't here last week? I want to take a bit of time and I want to go over a little bit of what I talked about last week because I think it's such an important message and I can preach it once and everyone goes, that's lovely. But we need to get it in our hearts. We need to get it in our minds. So we will go a bit further on today, but I want to go back over what I said last week. And so the first question I asked last week was this. Do you want your life to have more impact? I had a few amens last week, had a few woof. But actually, that's the question I want to keep asking us, is do you want your life to have more impact? Do you want your life to have more impact, ultimately, for Jesus and for the gospel? Because if you don't, what's the point? Because the challenge of being a Christian, we looked at about a few weeks ago, is Jesus gives us two things. He gives us a command to love each other in the church, and a commission to go and impact the world for his name and for his glory and his kingdom. So if you don't want to have an impact on the world around you, you're not living out the truth of what the gospel calls you to do as a Christian. So when I say, do you want your life to have more impact for the gospel, you should be going, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because I don't know about you, but for me, I find my life often doesn't have the impact that I want it to have. I said about it last week, how the reason being so often is this. I said, do you feel overwhelmed? So often the reason we're not having an impact for the gospel is we feel overwhelmed by the things of life, by the huge enormity of the things we've got to try and fit into life. Busyness creeps in. And so we feel overwhelmed, and therefore we stop having an impact. When you feel burdened and when you feel heavy laden, you stop having the impact that you're required to have because you're busy. And the enemy's best tactic, particularly for Christians, is to make them busy. And the best tactic of the enemy is to make them busy with what? With church. Being busy with church and not being intimate in relationship with him. It's the best tactic, because if you're doing something in the church particularly, you feel that it's kind of something, it's sort of holy, it's for God. And you end up worshipping the church rather than worshipping who the church is for. I've worked in churches now for years, and constantly I have this problem where I end up going, I'm doing it for Jesus, it's fine. I'll work some more hours today because it's for the church, it's for God, it's all lovely and what have you. And what happens is you end up being burdened and heavy laden, and because I think it's something it's for God, it's fine. And it's not fine because the church is not God. We worship and we follow Jesus. We don't worship the church. The church is the worship to God. We are the vessel to worship him. So I talked about how in Matthew, and this is from the Message version, it says, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Come to me. This is the call of Christ, is to come to me. He says, follow me. And some of you are going, I heard this last week. I'm going, yes, but you need to hear it again. Because you need to learn to come and follow Jesus. Not say to Jesus, Jesus, come and follow me where I'm going. I'm over here. Come follow me. Come be part of what I'm doing. It's, no, we follow Jesus. We come to Jesus. And when we're feeling heavy and laden, so often we go, Jesus, come and sort out my problems. Come and sort it all out for me. Make me less tired. And Jesus is going, no. You need to come to me. And the Bible is full of references about being still, waiting on God. Those who wait on the Lord renew their strength. This time of rest and recuperation, which we're so bad at because we're desperately wanting to be busy. Because if we're busy, we feel useful. If we're busy, we feel like we're doing mission. But busyness isn't mission. Mission starts with intimacy of relationship with Jesus. So Jesus says, come to me, follow me. It starts with an intimacy of relationship. And that intimacy leads to a place of faith. Faith is the trust and the reliance upon something else. Faith is trusting and relying on something. And that something is Jesus. We enter into intimate relationship through faith. We put our faith and our trust in the fact that Christ has died on the cross for our sins to save the world, to save us. Our faith and our trust is a reliance upon that truth being true. And when we have faith in that, it becomes true for us and it gives access to him in an intimate way. But faith is demonstrated by obedience. Faith is demonstrated by obedience. James says in James 2, you can't have faith without works. It says, if your faith doesn't lead you to live a way which shows obedience to the thing that you have trust and reliance upon, your faith is dead. It has no purpose to it. Saying, if you truly trust and rely upon Jesus, if you put your faith and your trust in him, but you don't model that out in how you live, you haven't really put your faith and trust in him. Your faith and your trust is in something else that you're following. But when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, I respond to what he is calling me to do. I follow him. I follow him in obedience. I follow what he calls me to do. And that is the Christian life. I said last week, the danger as Christians is we start living by good Christian principles, lovely sayings, lovely niceties, which is all good, but it becomes an obedience to a principle or to a rule, and you enter back into, without realizing it, back into religion. And we're not called into religion, we're called into obedience, not to rules, but an obedience to a person, the person of Jesus Christ, who we are called to follow. And so intimacy with him, resting with him, time with him, coming to him, is about being yoked to him. Being yoked to him. And I said about how the old-fashioned yokes they had was for two oxen. And so when Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, what he's saying is, join me. Come under my yoke, and I will take you where you need to go. I will lead you, I will guide you into that place you need to go. So you follow him in obedience wherever he takes you by being yoked to him. And you yoke yourself to Christ through an intimate relationship. Because that's the heart of the Christian message, which makes us different from other faiths and other religions, is that our whole message is about our relationship with God, not about following rules. It's not about how good you can be to get to God. It's about our relationship, an intimate relationship with God, which is incredible and awesome. So faith is demonstrated by our obedience to following him. If I say I have faith in Christ, I have to follow him in obedience. That's what I'm called to do. And when I do that, it's fab. See, when people hear the word obedience, they go, oh, that's a horrible word. I don't like that word obedience. Because it sounds like following rules, and it's not. When I was younger, I had a birthday. And I was quite young at the time. It wasn't recently. And my dad, for my birthday, he decided to present to me and my friends at my birthday party an old parchment, which was probably covered in tea stains rather than being old, but a parchment that told us about the Blue Abbot of Pershore Abbey. The Blue Abbot of Pershore Abbey. And this parchment told us about how there was some hidden treasure in the grounds of the abbey somewhere near Pershore. And if we followed the clues, we might find this treasure. So we went on the most epic treasure hunt you've ever seen. And so we walked, and because basically the whole of Pershore where I grew up was all owned by the monastery, all owned by the abbey. So all the grounds in the area are owned by that. So we went on big journeys. We went past the river, went through fields, we went through herds of sheep, we went round the houses, went everywhere. And ultimately we got back to our house, and in our garden was buried the treasure, which was chocolate bars wrapped up in gold paper, which was lovely. But you see, it was, here's a truth that I want to follow. And it wasn't kind of like, oh, I better be obedient to this clue now. Oh, gosh, I've got to go and find the next clue. Oh, that's a bit of rubbish. It was fantastic. What's the next thing? I want to go here. I want to go there. I want to find this treasure. I want to do something amazing. That's the excitement of following Jesus. And it seems we make it under following a principle or a rule or being just generally a good person, a good Christian person. You've entered back under religion and rule-keeping rather than the excitement of the intimate relationship with Jesus, which leads you step by step. You see, every time you listen to the intimate voice of Christ in your life through the Holy Spirit in you, and you respond to that in obedience, you take a step forward. And when you respond again to that intimate voice, you take a step forward. And with every step you take forward, what you end up doing is you end up walking with Christ. Do you get that? Every step forward is a step on the journey. It is saying, yes, I'm walking with Christ. Rather than occasionally when you suddenly feel very holy one day and you think, oh, I might respond to the voice of the Lord today. And you go, oh, I've taken a step in this direction. Then you spend the rest of your life walking this direction. Going, I want to go here, I want to go here. Walking with Christ is every step being a step of obedience to Him, following what He is calling you to do, what He is saying to you to do. We have a God who speaks to us in different ways. And for some of us, we find other ways more easier to listen to than other ways. So for some of us, it's the Bible, and that becomes the center point of how we hear God. That's fab. For some people, it's a still small voice that they hear. For some people, it's a prophetic word that comes to them. God speaks in hugely different ways. The Psalms say, the heavens declare the glory of God. Creation itself can speak to us about who God is. But it's learning to hear His voice. And the more you learn to hear His voice, the easier it becomes. And the more you take steps with Him on that journey of obedience. And it becomes so exciting. Because faith and obedience leads to an expectation. Faith and obedience lead to an expectation. I wrote on the front of the news sheet for this month, and if you've read it, you'll get where we're about to go. I want my expectation of what God's going to do in my life to increase. And it increases by me spending more time with Him, hearing His voice, and being obedient to what He calls me to do. When I stop listening to Jesus, I'm just following whatever whim I go on. But only when I hear His voice do I start moving into the realm of faith. Faith is stepping out into the place of trust and reliance on Jesus. And when you put your step out in faith, you put yourself in a realm where Jesus has to turn up. Because you can't do it. Because what God often calls you to do, you can't physically do. He says, I'll do it for you. Which is when He says, my yoke is easy. He's saying, you can't do it. If you try to do it, it'll be really hard work. I can do it. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because if you're walking in a place of faith, if you're living and walking by faith, then the yoke becomes lighter. Because your whole life becomes a picture of Jesus serving you. Jesus coming through for you. Faith increasing so that God can do amazing things. So in Luke chapter 1, we have the story of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary. And it's one of my favorite stories because it's just full of such faith. The word of the Lord turns up to her and says, you're going to have a baby. What's her response? Let it be to me as you have said. Not a, what on earth? There's an angel in my house. Grr. Let it be to me as you have said. She goes, okay, I've heard that word that you're saying to me, Lord. I'm going to step out into it. I'm going to step out into it. And the bit I've highlighted there, which in the new NIV says, for no words from God will ever fail, which you might know in older NIV translations are saying, with God, nothing is impossible. So just to hold on to that thought as well as we go forward. But the next bit's the bit that's really interesting. Because I've often read that bit, and in the NIV, there's a little break, and it says, Mary visits Elizabeth. So it breaks up the flow of the text. So the angel comes to Mary, says, you're going to have a baby. She says, let it be to me as you have said. And then it says, at that time, Mary got ready. She immediately responds to what God has said to her. She immediately responds. Get ready. But because of the break that's often in most of our modern Bibles, we miss the fact that it's at the flow of Scripture. Word comes to Mary. She has faith that God will do it. Let it be to me as you have said. And then she gets ready. And she goes to the hill country of Judah to go and see Elizabeth. She got ready. And what's interesting about that word get ready is in the Greek. In the Greek, that word means to get up, to stand up, or this, to come back to life. The reason I say this is because when you put faith back into your life, you come back to life. When you start living and walking by faith, you come back to life as a spiritual person. It puts the Spirit of God in you back on fire. When you start tapping into walking and living by faith, it becomes exciting and it's like puts life back into you. And so many of us as Christians become spiritually dead because we've lost that intimate connection with Jesus. Living by faith is so exciting. When I was growing up, we had a church plant that we were running as a family. And, well, my parents were running it. We weren't really kind of running it, but. and one of the most vivid stories I remember, and I might have told you this one before, is how, I can't remember if it was me or my brother, one of us needed a pair of new shoes. And we didn't have any money. We were so, so poor because we were living by faith. We were trying to run a church and we had no money. We just didn't have any. We didn't have anything spare. And one of us needed a new pair of new shoes. I remember us getting together as a family and praying about it, saying, God, we need about £30 for a pair of new shoes, new school shoes. The next day, through the letterbox, came an envelope randomly out of the blue. No one knew. £30. It says, here's £30 for some new shoes. That's my experience of living by faith. And you go, that's a nice story that you tell. But this, I hear these stories all the time. I've got so many friends who are in church plants or people who are trying to live by faith, and God just turns up time and time again. I could tell you loads of stories in my life where I've had a need and God's just come through, and not just in like in a little way, but in an abundant way. I've had two situations in my life where I've been working for church, I've been really stressed, I've been really run down, I've gone, God, do you know what I really need right now? I really need a holiday. But when you work for a church, I couldn't afford a holiday back then because I was working part-time for a church and I was being paid virtually nothing at the time. Twice now in my Christian ministry, I've had a situation where I've had two free holidays because people come up to me and said, you need to have a holiday. Here you go. Now, I'm not saying if you start living by faith, you'll have everything for free. I'm not trying to say that. But what I'm saying is when you have a genuine need because you're genuinely trying to do what God called you to do, God will provide for your needs. He will provide for you because you're stepping into the realm of faith where he can enter into your life, where he can minister into what you're doing. When you try and take control of your life, you're responsible for it. We've been talking about this the whole last series. Ultimately, who's God? If you put your faith and your trust in Jesus and you say that he is God and you live in that relationship with him, when you start living by faith, recognizing that God can turn up and do something. See, it says at the end there, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord said to her will be accomplished. That word blessed should be familiar from when we did the Beatitude series about all that that means. But that word believed, you know, believed in the Greek, is the same word for faith. She who has faith that the Lord will accomplish what he set out to do. We need to start being Christian people who have a greater expectancy of what God wants to do in and through us in our life. It says in the scriptures in Hebrews 11, verse 1, and this is the King James Version, which I think puts it so nicely, the King James Version. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? What is your expectation? Because your expectation or your hope is the substance of where faith can work. You see, if you have very low expectations that God's going to do anything in your life, there's low faith, you don't need to live by faith. Because you have no expectation that God will turn up in your life. When you have a huge expectation that God will do something amazing, or when God's spoken to you and you go, wow, God, that's a massive promise. How's that going to be? If your expectation is huge, God can work through that. If you have low expectation, there's no need for God to work because there's nothing to expect for it to happen. We need to increase our expectation. We need to increase our vision of what God can and will do. What does it say in Ephesians? Ephesians 3:20-21 says, Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. So just think about that. Immeasurably, you can't measure it. Some say abundantly, more than you can ask or you can imagine. So the biggest thing that you can imagine, God says, I can do immeasurably more than that. Whatever you can imagine happening, whatever you can think to ask for, I can do immeasurably more than that. According to Christ at work within you. Because you are in an intimate relationship with Jesus where he is in you. He is part of what your life is about. He can do something incredible through you. Immeasurably more than you can ask or you can imagine, God can do that through you. But I think what releases it is having an obedient relationship with Christ, an intimate relationship with him, where we live by faith that God will do those things. How many of us turn up to church with no expectation at all? I'll come to church today and my expectation is the worship will annoy me again. Pete will go on too long again. Or, oh, that person's going to be there. I don't want to speak to them again. If your expectation is that when you come into the room, why would God meet with you? Why would he meet with you? There's no faith there. There's no desire there to be intimate with him. Your desire is, I'm coming here to be annoyed. That's what you're saying. And we all do it. I do it some weeks. So I come in and think, I do not want to go to church this morning. And I'm the pastor of the church. But it's being real and honest about it. Some of us feel like that sometimes. The call of us as the people of God, we talked about it in the church bit, we preached about this a few weeks ago, is we need to come with an expectation that when we gather together as the people of God, God is going to move mightily. Because if that's our expectation, God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to his work within us. If we're not here, he can't do it through us. Let's make our expectations huge. The story of Mary, about someone who responds in obedience to Christ, to the voice of God speaking to her. And what she then, she lives with expectancy. She becomes expectant with child. She becomes expectant with what Christ is going to do in her. She has Christ in her, literally. That metaphor for us is the fact that God lives in us now, so we can be expectant with all the things, all the promises that God has for us to take place. Let's be people who are expectant of things being better than they are now. Expecting that God will work through us. But it's not just imagining whatever dream we want to have. That expectation comes out of hearing the voice of God. What is he saying to us? My expectancy is based upon what he says to me. His promises, his truth. The great thing about being a Christian is we have this thing called the Bible. When you open up the Bible, you find it's full of promises to people who believe in him. Do you ever read them and go, that's for me? As a Christian, that speaks to me. Well, I'm going, oh, that's nice. It's a nice phrase to say. The Bible is a book of promises to us about what it can mean and what it can be to be a Christian. And so many of us would rather live by pseudo-principles of Christian faith. I'll be a nice person. I'll do the right sort of thing. Rather than living that intimate relationship with him, where I expect the promises of the scriptures to be true in my life, where I expect him to work in and through me. Every day when you wake up, what's your expectation of what God can do? Is it that he's going to change the world around you? Is it that he's going to allow you to bring someone to the Lord? What is your expectation? When I was at school, I used to pray every morning that God would give me an opportunity to share my faith at school. Every morning. And I remember one day I was in the canteen and I opened up my wallet. In my wallet there's kind of a little photo section where you kind of a little bit, a clear plastic bit where you have a photograph in there. And in there I had an Ignite card. And Ignite was a youth movement actually based in Cardiff. Basically, this promise is about, as a Christian, as a young person, as a Christian at school, here's what I'm going to strive to live out in my Christian life. It was there in my wallet. And my friend in the queue said to me, "What's that?" And I said, "Oh, don't worry about that." I was asking for those opportunities. My expectation was that those opportunities would arise. And when they arose, I didn't follow through. Because I'm really not perfect. But the point where it was, though, there's a moment there where I had an opportunity to either be obedient in faith or to draw back. And that opportunity, I drew back. But out of that relationship with God, I'd asked for that opportunity. And God goes, okay. But the opportunity means you have to step out in faith. It means you have to do things differently. You have to rely on me coming through for you here. Otherwise, you're going to look stupid. What a missed opportunity. I regret it to this day, that particular person. But I just want to say to you, let your expectation of what God could do increase. Be expectant because he is in you. Be like Mary, expectant because Christ is in her, because Christ is with you. The story of Christmas is about a God who enters into history so that we can be expectant. The whole story of the gospel is expectancy of the fact that Christ's kingdom will come, but that it has already come in part. So my expectation is that I will see his kingdom manifest wherever I go, because he lives in me. Expect bigger things. Expect greater things, because we worship the living God. Stop worshipping, stop following nice Christian sayings and life, and start living in intimacy with Jesus. Because only then we will have more impact, and only then can you live with an expectation which is huge and massive and exciting. Following Jesus should be the most exciting thing you ever do. If it's not exciting, you probably need to get your relationship with him sorted out. There's probably a relational issue there. That's what I would suggest. That's something for us to chew about over Christmas time. What's our expectation? Let's pray. Lord God, in intimacy with you, Lord, we find a relationship which allows us to hear the guiding voice, to follow you, to live by faith, to take every step following you, saying yes to you. And Lord, in doing so, we start entering into a realm where we can be expectant of what you'll do, expectant of your kingdom, expectant of all the things that we can see in and through you, expectant that the promises of the scriptures are true for us. Lord, I pray that we'd know that Christ lives in us. And just like Mary, as she had Christ in her, she was expectant. Lord, we pray that we would be expectant too, that you would birth in us dreams and visions where our expectation is bigger than we can ever imagine because of who you are, Lord. Amen.